Welcome, Chevra. In our point of the year, we just had our alumni leave. In my mind, we're in the most critical part of the year. And I want to explain to you why. If we were to put this into a sports analogy, which sometimes I tend to do, we're mid-third quarter right now. And the first few minutes of the third quarter is always going to determine who wins the game. It's what you do, your halftime adjustments. It's going to be indicative of the score coming down to the last 2 minutes of the game. Right now, we're at the point where we're going to set up the result for the most important year in our lives. Sometimes yeshiva is hard to begin, to get into it could be hard. And sometimes, I always say this in my shiur, and guys always ask me, and you'll see what I mean. After Purim, after Pesach, sometimes we do have other things in our schedule besides for learning. Right now, the Chorv Zman, the Zman that we're in, is the Ikra Zman, the Ikra time of yeshiva. And we're coming to the end of it, so I think it's time to reflect on what we've accomplished and to set goals on what we should try to do for the rest of the year. So I want to make 2 points about it. One for about a minute and a half, and another point for the rest of this year. Something that I think is lacking sometimes in every yeshiva, and I'll bring you a great proof in just a minute, is the sense of accomplishment. There's such a positive pressure in the greatest way possible that we need to keep getting better. We need to do awesome. We need to push to become the best us we could be. But the downside, the shortcoming of that, is sometimes we forget to stop and give ourselves credit. Every single person in this room is different. Every single person came in different, will leave different, and has accomplished different things this year. But there's not a person in this room, and I feel so confident, even that one guy who thinks it's not him, who hasn't accomplished something tremendous this year. Look at where you were last year. Look at where you are now. And we're not done with the year. And I think it's important that you give yourself a pat on the back. If it does well for you, yeah, I like that. You can pat him on the back. Whatever it is, to feel accomplished for a second. I want to share with you why I'm sharing with you this idea. This past Friday night, in the community that I live in remote, I gave the Friday night drasha. It's about like 4,000, 5,000 people there, according to my count. And on Sunday, I spoke about, I'll share with you the vort another time if you'd like to hear. But I spoke about how Gullus, the Ramban refers to Sefer Shemos as the book of Gullus and Geula. We get exiled, and then we get redeemed. And the idea that I share with the guys is I said, or I was probably the youngest one in the room by like 20 years, with everyone else, was the concept that I think to get out of our Gullus and Geula, we need the same thing they had. And I explained that I thought that they had aspirations, dreams. They saw that they came from Yosef, and they saw what they could become, and that's what got them out of Gullus to Geula. And I said, for us to get out of the Gullus we're in, to end up in Geula, we also have to have dreams and aspirations. And that was it. I'm walking on Sunday with my family, and this older chassid, must be 7 years old, big beard, payas, strimo, the whole business, comes over and he says, are you that rabbi who spoke in shul on Shabbos? I said, yeah, you must have been lost in the thousands of the crowd. I didn't see you there. And he says, I just want to let you know. In the last 40 years, I've been in every top yeshiva. I've never worked a day in my life. I just learn. And he said, never in 40 years have I heard a message to think that I'm a good, that I've accomplished a lot. There's always, I got to do better. He says, if I heard that over the last 40 years, I'd be in a much better place than I am right now. That's what he said, told me. So I think it's important not to use it as an excuse or as a crutch, but to say, I've accomplished a tremendous amount this year, and to be proud of yourself. That could be in the base midrash, that could be most important in your midos, maybe a davening streak, whatever that is, that's point number one. Now they call it a mushah shmuz, so here we go. Here's point number two, and we'll spend most of our time working on it. Imagine for a moment I told you that you had in your bank account right now $86,400, but this is a special bank account, $86,400. And the way this account worked is no matter what you spent today, tomorrow you're going to have $86,400 in your bank account. But the one caveat is, nothing rolls over to the next day. So you either spend it or you don't. What would we do if we had that money? We spend each and every penny. I wouldn't leave a penny left over. Because I know the next day it's going to be full. If I have $70,000 at the end of the day, it's gone. The same thing is true with our time. And that's what I want to focus on, how we spend our time. HaKadosh Baruch Hu blesses us each and every morning, a gift, 86,400 seconds in a day. And at the end of the day, He replenishes it. 86,400 seconds the next day. But any dollar, or in this case, time, second, that you leave over in your bank, it's gone. You can't get it anymore. The question is why, when it comes to money, would we be so okay to leave? We would never leave over a cent. But it comes to time, we don't account for each and every second in our day. Now, it doesn't mean you have to be sitting and learning the Beis Midrash every day. You could be sleeping, but saying that's what's best for me right now. Every single second in our day should be accounted for. Because the next day it's replenished, but you can never have rollover seconds. You can never have time that continues over. The first mitzvah in the Torah is Achodes Hazel Lechem. Rashi, the first Rashi in the Torah says, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Lo HaYitzarech LaHaskel HaTorah, Elam Achodes Hazel Lechem. The Torah should have started with Rosh Chodesh. Shehi Mitzvah Rishon Estavnu BaYisrael. Because that's the first mitzvah that the Jewish people are commanded. HaChodesh Hazel Lechem, Rosh Chodesh. What's Rosh Chodesh? Rosh Chodesh is the ability to start fresh, new time, to take care of your time. When were the Jews given this? I believe it's the next week's parsha. We're going to see the Jews are given this when they're leaving Egypt, when they're leaving slavery and becoming a free nation. What's the difference between a slave and every other person in the world? A slave is meshubad. He's enslaved. He has no free time. It doesn't mean he works 24/7, but at any second his master could say, you need to work for me now. That's it. You're not in control of your own time. A free person is in control of every single second of his life. The Jewish people were leaving Egypt, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says you need a prerequisite in order to be successful. You need to realize you're now in control of your time. HaChodesh Hazel Lechem. This is your time to do whatever you want with it. But not just that, it's Kufa, the first mitzvah, because it's what you need in order to be successful with every other mitzvah. You can want to daven, you can want to learn, you can want to do chesed, you can want to have good midos, but if you don't set aside the time, divvy out your moments in your day properly, then you're never going to reach that goal. Even if you have the ability, even if you have the desire. It's a simple game of time. Are you going to spend it properly? And that's why I think it's the first mitzvah that we're given in the Torah. They tell an awesome story about Rav Chaim Kanievsky. Rav Chaim Kanievsky, for those who don't know, he's very into names. And it's a big deal of how you spell a name on a ksuba. So there was a guy who had a Yiddish name. And he wanted to know how I spell on the ksuba. So he's getting married in a few months. He sends a letter to Rav Chaim Kanievsky and he explains, I want you to help me. How should I spell my name on the ksuba? I forgot what the name was. And he sends him a letter. He's hoping that Rav Chaim responds in time before his wedding. A week before his wedding, he gets an envelope addressed to him. The return address, Rav Chaim Kanievsky, B'nai Brak. He's excited. He opens up the letter, puts his hand in the envelope, and it's empty. It's like, I don't get it. He took the time to write me a letter, to mail me a letter, but it's nothing inside. Envelope's empty. And he's upset, and he's like, I can't figure it out. He's like, if he didn't respond, I hear. He took the time to respond to me. And he's upset, and he throws away the envelope. And his wife takes out the envelope. She said, oh, what did Rav Chaim respond? And she says, there's nothing in it. I don't know. And he notices, though, it's addressed to him, but it's spelled differently than how he signed his name. And Rav Chaim wrote on the envelope the name the way he wants it to be spelled. Rav Chaim's going to address him a letter and write another thing. Every second's valuable to Rav Chaim. So he sent the letter back on the envelope itself. Now this is Rav Chaim Kanievsky. That's not what we need to be doing in our lives at all. But the concept of how you become great is each second is accounted for. Each moment in your life is something that we value. The father of the Jewish people is Avram Avinu. How did he become the father of the Jewish people? It's because he passed 10 tests. He realized HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu put him through 10 tests to make sure that he was all in. And according to most, maybe we'll see another opinion at the end, according to most, the biggest of the 10 tests is Akedas Yitzchak. And I was always bothered by this. Imagine this for a moment. This is the way I always pictured it growing up. Avram Avinu with his stick, his donkey, his long beard. He's walking up with his like 4-year-old little son, Yitzchak, walking up. And he's going to shecht him, and Yitzchak has no idea what's going on. He thinks it's a great outing with my dad. It's going to be awesome. He binds him to the mizbeach, and he's like, what's going on? He's like, we're just hanging out. We're having a good time. Yitzchak thinks it's great. And Avram was going to shecht Yitzchak, and that's why he gets all the credit. But the Pasuk in Rashi is very clear. That's not what happened. The Pasuk writes as follows. He says, Vayachlu shneim yachtav. They both went together. And Rashi says they both went. What does that mean? They both went just as willingly. Yitzchak knew what was going on. He was just as excited, so to say, or into the idea to be Moser Nefesh, to give over his life for HaKadosh Baruch Hu as Avram was. But Avram gets all the credit in the world. Avram's the one who says, okay, this is Avram's test. Why isn't it Yitzchak's test? He was going to be killed. So I think you could say pshat is as follows. As crazy as it seems, it's much easier to die al Kiddush Hashem than to live al Kiddush Hashem. Yitzchak was going to be killed. He was Moshe Nefesh, tremendous. He's Yitzchak. Doesn't need my askama, but he has it. That he was going to be killed and he was going to have a front row seat in Olam Haba, courtside, in the next world. But Avram Avinu was going to have to live each and every day with the knowledge that he murdered or killed his son for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And to live every single day al Kiddush Hashem is something that you can't compare to the idea of dying al Kiddush Hashem. To live each and every moment. You know how many older people there are on their deathbeds who look and say, you know what, that's it. Get me a chumash, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, give all my money over to tzedakah, and that's tremendous. I'm not downplaying it. But when you're 90 years old, and you have 1 foot in the door, 1 foot out of the door, and you have no more Yitzhar, you can't do anything, and now you're like, you know what, I'm dedicating my life to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in some ways you miss the boat. It's a beautiful thing, but it's not as hard to die al Kiddush Hashem. It sounds crazy, but to live al Kiddush Hashem each and every day, to be Moser Nefesh for HaKadosh Baruch Hu day in and day out, to account for each and every second, is what makes someone, in my opinion, an Avram Avinu, a great person. The Rav yesterday, I thought he spoke beautifully, the Rav who spoke during the 3:10 slot, he alluded to this pasuk. He quoted this pasuk. The pasuk says in Nitzavim, Achayim v'amisim nasati levanecha bracha v'aklala b'charta b'chayim. I have placed before you today life and death, bracha and klala, blessing and curse, and you should choose life. What's going on here? Who wouldn't choose life? But there's another interesting imbalance in the pasuk. The pasuk doesn't seem to be perfect grammatically correct. Why? It says chayim. Chayim is what? Plural. And mavis is singular. We have a word for plural death in Judaism, in Hebrew. That's mesim. And we have a word for single life in Hebrew, and that's chay. But it says mavis and chayim. Plural and singular. What's going on? So in life, or in death, however you want to put it, death is the definitive state. You're alive or you're dead. When you're dead, you're dead. That's it. But chayim, living, there's two types of people who are living. It's plural. Not a pluralistic life, but there's plural. Two options of life. Number one is a person who's alive. He's breathing. He eats. He drinks. He sleeps. And there's another type of life, and that's chayim. He's living his life. Every moment's accounted for. He's actually a person who's living. So just because you're breathing doesn't mean you're living. And we've all seen this in moments maybe in our own lives or with people in our lives where there's chayim, there's a life, but are they really living? And that's what I think the end of the pasuk is saying. Becharta bechayim, choose life. Of course I'm going to choose life. No. Choose the right life. Don't just allow your days to pass you by, your time just to go by from one side to another side. Years go get older. We see sometimes, maybe in our community, 50, 60, 70-year-olds, but they act like they're 15. So their years have gone further. But have they lived their life? Have they grown in their own ways? Not necessarily. Bechart bechayim, choose life. And again, as we started off, it doesn't necessarily mean only in the Beis Midrash. Of course, in yeshiva, we value that tremendously. But in a few weeks, we're going to go to Eilat, and we have intramurals, and we have vad, and we have all these other things that we do outside of the Beis Midrash, and those are important to us. You need to be making sure you're Bechart Bechaim there. And it's harder sometimes. In the Beis Midrash, it's easier to realize the Kadosh Baruch Hu. How do you see, how do you know that you're always picking life, always picking Hashem, outside of the Beis Midrash? If you take a look at the word Chayim, Ches Yud Yud Mem, the essence of the word, the middle of the word is Yud Yud, Hashem's name in the middle. If in your life, every decision, the essence of your whole life is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that doesn't mean you have to be sitting in the base the whole time. But everything I do is, how am I getting closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Chayim. That's how you know in your life you're choosing the right path. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to be Bechar to Bechayim, to choose the real life where days just don't pass us by, but we leave every single day with all 86,400 seconds accounted for. I heard last year from Rabbi Blaski, one of his Thursday night Mishnah Shmuz, I thought it was a beautiful mashal. He explained, maybe he said it this year, if he's going to say it, I apologize. He explained that life is like let's use a soda. I don't care, remember exactly what he gave, but life is like a soda factory. The bottles are going down the conveyor belt. They're going down the conveyor belt, and as they go down, there's a fountain that, let's say, spritzes in the Coke, and it goes to the next stop, and they close the bottle. And it gets shipped out, and that's it, it's gone. What happens if where the fountain, where the soda comes out, is clogged? It's not working. So the bottles are going down the conveyor belt, and it's supposed to spritz, it doesn't, and the bottle keeps going, and the bottle's closed and shipped out, empty. He said, that's life. Moments are just passing us by each and every day. And we have an option. Are we going to fill up this bottle? Awesome. That's what we're supposed to do. But if not, it's closed and it's shipped out. That second can never come back. That moment in life can never come back. And that's our decision. Are we going to clog up our fountains? Are we going to be bogged down with other things? And are we going to be choosing Becharta Bechaim or not? Or Mavves? It's not as pashut as we may think. I remember growing up, when I went to camp for my first year, it was like Nitzi age, that young age. I don't know what they call it in Nesher, the young age. But and my parents gave me this thing way back when I was in camp. There was something called a postcard. I can show you one of them. So a postcard, my parents pre-addressed three postcards. One to them, they wanted, I guess, to be in touch. One, grandparents on one side, grandparents on the other side. I made sure to write them all like the second day, and I saved them to not to send to later, so they didn't know I just got it out of the way. I wrote them all right away, and here I am writing it. I start off, hi, Mom and Dad, in big letters. I'm excited to write them something. Leagues are great. Food subpar, beds, whatever. I'm by the bathroom. It's not great. I came late. I didn't get the choice. And I start writing, and I realize I'm like one and two, or two sentences in, and I'm almost at the end of the card already. So then I start writing really small letters just to try to get everything in. Sometimes, like in the Gemara, you try to like write a little note on the side, and like you realize you're running out of space, so like the last few words are teeny and the first words are huge. That's life sometimes. In the beginning, we think we have these big letters all this time. At the end of life, we try to like cram everything in. The end of our year, it's hard when you're 18 years old to be seeing the big picture. It's hard for me in my stage of life also to be seeing the big picture. But in our year, if we were taking our year, the most important year in our life, so we started off with our big letters. Okay, I'll do a little here, a little there, and I'll have time. There's going to be Hanukkah. After Hanukkah, I'm going to buckle down. After January break, my parents, my friends' parents are coming. That's awesome. I'll buckle down afterwards. Okay, I'm by Purim now, Pesach. And now we just had a bunch of alumni come. And if you ask them the most common denominator that they all say, whether they were successful or they could have been more successful, they wish they could be back in yeshiva. But their bottle was closed. Some filled it, some didn't. And it shipped out. And those moments, were they all accounted for some maybe, for some maybe not. But they start off with those big letters on their postcard, thinking that they have all the time in the world. But it comes and it goes, and that's a muscle for our year. In reality, it's a muscle for life. Life only gets busier. This year, we have no obligations, really, except to be part of the yeshiva, which is Baruch Hashem. We're all part of the yeshiva. But we have no obligation, no tests, no homework. No, we're not meshubed. We're not slaves. Slaves don't have control of their own time. We're as free people as it could possibly be. The question is, are we using our time or we're enslaving ourselves? We're like the Jews. Four-fifths of the Jews didn't leave Egypt. They ran back. They wanted to be slaves. They liked that lifestyle. It's crazy. For us, look, are you crazy? 210 years of being slaves, you want to stay? Four-fifths. If you do the math, 3.2 million Jews died because they wanted to remain in Egypt. Sometimes we do that to ourselves. We enslave ourselves without wanting to get out of the things that are holding us back. There's a Gemara that explained that they asked the Tanaim, a bunch of Tanaim live very long lives. And they say, what was your secret? If you find a common denominator between each one of the Tanaim, you can know the secret for a long life. Let's say, for example, right? Each one of the Tanaim, they all did different things. One learned this, one did that, but they all ate an apple for breakfast. So what's the common denominator? They all eat an apple. Must be people who eat apples. They're the ones who have a long life. So the Tanaim are all listing. One says, every single day I was the first one to make it to Minyan. That's what one says. Another one says, every single day I made sure to speak about every person as if he was in front of me. And it goes on and on and on. If you look at it, there's seemingly zero common denominator. So there's no secret. There's no secret to a long life on face value. I one time heard from Rabbi Daniel Kalishlita a beautiful idea. He said there's one word that shows up in every single one of their opinions. And that is every single day. Every day I did X. Every day I did Y. They each had their own thing they did. But it was every single day. And he said if you live your life like that, every day accounted for. Some of us will go down this path. Some of us will go down that path. It's not one right path for everyone. But if every day is accounted for, that's the secret to long life. And I wanted to add, maybe the long life there doesn't literally mean in years, but it means that every one of their lives were accounted for. It doesn't mean that they necessarily all lived to 120. Maybe they did. But what it could mean is just the sense that they lived long lives, meaning all their time was accounted for. And that's the point of really living a long life. They were bought by Yomim. They came with their days. My Chavrusa Yisrael Benevitz always points out every single morning, he motivates me, he starts off with today's game seven. Today's game seven. If you have that approach in life, you're not going to be lazy. You're not going to not chase down the guy on defense and give up an open layup in game seven. Game 22 of an 82-game season, okay. I'll save for the offensive side of the ball. But game seven in the finals, you're not doing that. If you approach every single day with that attitude that today's game seven, every single moment will be accounted for. Very often on my drive here to Yeshiva, I listen to Rav Waxman. He's amazing, and sometimes it's not the safest thing because I forget that I'm driving. I'm so into his shmooze. He shared a beautiful story. I almost crashed my car. Listen to this. He said that there's a person right now in Yerushalayim, an elderly lady. She's a widow. She had no kids. And she got sick, and she's paralyzed. And she lives by herself. And there's a Rav, a big-time Rav, he didn't want to mention the name, who always comes and visits her. This is her week after week. It's part of his chesed. They actually live near each other. He stops by on the way home. And this big time Rav, he takes time out of his day answering questions. He goes and he visits this lady. And what happens is this lady's crying this time he shows up. He says, Rebbe, please give me a bracha. I need a bracha. My life is so difficult. Please give me a bracha. And he says, okay, I don't know what I can do. I'll give you a bracha. I'll see what I can do. And he says, what bracha do you want? What can I give you? He said, give me a bracha for arichas yamim, long life. And this Rebbe looks at him, he says, okay, with all due respect, what do you want to live for? Your life is terrible. You just say, your life's so hard, I need a bracha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to give you a seat in the next world because all your pain was in this world. You have it all set up for you in the next world. Why do you want long life? She says, I'll explain to you why. She says, I sit in my own filth all week. I never have a guf naki, a clean body. He says, once a week, there's this angel. She works at Shari Chesed Hospital, Shari Tzedek Hospital. She must live in Shari Chesed. She lives in Shari Tzedek Hospital. And she comes to my house and she cleans me up. She gets her hands dirty. She cleans me up. She showers me. And for a few minutes, I have a guf naki, I have a clean body. And I beg her to run and get me a cup of water. And I take that cup of water and I say, Shakol. I get to say a bracha. Usually it's one and done. Sometimes I get a bracha achrona, sometimes I don't. Before my body is no longer clean. I say to have that moment, that one moment a week, where I get to say one bracha, I would do anything for arichas yamim, long days. I'm driving to yeshiva. I'm about to spend, I don't know, 12 hours in a base midrash. And I have every single opportunity. I have the best job in the world. I wouldn't change my job for anything. I have the best job. I have every single opportunity to sit and learn, to be mashpia, and to learn from you guys, and to learn from the other Rebbeim. And what she wants, arichas yamim, to live in pain, paralyzed, in her own filth, every single day, to have one moment of what I have every single moment, Baruch Hashem, b'liyan har in my life. I'm lucky I'm here. The car's okay. But I was trembling. It's musr like I've never heard before. We have so much time. Everything is handed to you here in yeshiva on a silver platter. The Rebbeim are invested. The Rebbeim sometimes, when I was your age, I certainly didn't realize this. They have families. They don't live here. They have their own goals, their own aspirations in life, and they're so dedicated to you. The Madrichim, the other Talmidim, the Shana Bet, everyone's here for you to be successful. And we just, sometimes, not always, sometimes we just throw it away. And we don't do what we could be doing. I mentioned that Avram's biggest test was the Kedas Yitzchak. And that's what most people say. However, there's one opinion, Rabbeinu Yonah, who says differently. Rabbeinu Yonah says, Hasiri, the 10th test, Kavura Sarah, is the burial of Sarah. The burial of Sarah, Aminu. And this bothered me. What does that mean, the 10th test? He just almost shechted his son. And the biggest test is burying his wife. She was old. Everyone dies. What's the big deal? How did he bury his wife? He had to fight with Ephron to get the land. And he had to act properly and bury her and go through all these things. And it was a hardship for him. And explains Rabbeinu Yonah What makes someone great, the greatest of all the tests, and Avram did great things, he jumped into a fire, he was willing to shecht his son. The greatest of all tests is just how you live your daily life. The tenth, the pinnacle, the climax of it all, was how do you act with Ephraim? How do you give to him? Was he acting with Midos? Was he trying to cheat him? Was he okay? That's the tenth test. To us in Yeshiva, we have these huge moments sometimes that are awesome. Just to pick on one, for example, the Caleb challenge is amazing. 12,500 job and whatever it was, that's awesome. And it's supposed to motivate us to use our time well. You want to know to me what the telltale sign is if that challenge did something or not? That was Thursday night. What was the attendance Sunday? Sunday davening. Sunday morning Seder, afternoon Seder, night Seder. When there's no longer a challenge. How we live our daily lives. Are we now changing how we live? Are our moments more accounted for at that point? You have to ask yourself that question. I can't answer for you. That challenge changed. And that's just one example. A Thursday night Mishmar this past week. All the kuntzers, they were awesome. Did that change us or it came and went? Because those big moments in a vacuum, I don't want to say they mean nothing. You still learned all those dapim. It's amazing. But the point is to then account for our daily lives. The key to a long life is just every day. To have all 86,400 moments accounted for. They one time asked Rishon Zalman Auerbach, how did you become the great Gadol HaDor? And they were like, people's pens, papers out, everyone's excited for this. Like, it takes a little brazenness to ask the Gadol HaDor how he became who he was. And he said, so simple. Here's my secret. You ready for this? Take out your pens, paper, buckle up. When it was time to daven, I davened. Okay? It's a good way to start your day. When it's time to learn, I learned. When it's time to do chesed, I did chesed. It's time to eat, bathroom, and that's what I did. And that's it. And like, that's how you became a Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. He said, yeah, every single moment I did what I was supposed to be doing. That's it. There's no secrets. There's no tricks. If you do what you're supposed to be doing, you become the best version of you. If you try to say, you know, I'm going to make it up tomorrow. I'm going to miss shir, but I'm going to stay up all night till 3 o'clock in the morning. I'm going to make it up tomorrow. That's it. You missed the boat. You missed it. It's good. If by accident you miss shir, that's the best thing to do. But to show up consistently and on time and be there and be present, that's the key to success. I was at the park yesterday with my daughter. She loves going on the swings. Push on the swings back and forth. You know, I always tell her, watch her head for the plane. She really thinks she's going to hit him. It's great. We're going back and forth to swing. And I'm sitting next to a guy, an Israeli guy. I'm not talking to him. He's also pushing his daughter on a swing. But this is him the whole time. The whole time. He's just going like this. Going like this. Me and him are doing the same action. I'm no tzaddik, just for this one moment. Me and him, and we're both doing the same thing. I'm present and he's not. I'm spending time with my daughter and he's not. He happens to be in the park on his phone and his daughter's also there. Be weird if he was in the park without his daughter. So he brought his daughter to do his work. That's it. That's pshat. You could be in a place, but are you present? Are you on your phone? Are you coming late? Are you leaving early? You come late to shir, you miss the question, how could you get the answer? Are we present? Are our times accounted for? We have an interesting concept in Judaism called pidyon haben, to redeem your son. You have to fall into certain halachic categories, but I love this concept. Happens is a kohen, so to say, has your son, and you need to redeem him back. And how do you do that? You offer five slum. Five slum. I don't know how much it is. Anyone know how much five slum is? 50, 60 bucks? $50. We'll call it $50. Correct me when you find that. I don't really know. $50. So they ask you this question. The kohen gets up there and he says, do you want your son? Your wife was just pregnant for 9 months. You just bought a crib, made a new beautiful thing. She got a toy. Everyone already got her him. Everyone already got him the customized onesie. He's ready to go. Do you want your son or are you keeping your $50? And the father's there contemplating, well, it's just $50. You know that could get me? All right, I'll take my son. What's pshat? What are we asking? It's like some type of game we're playing with him. Do you want the $50? You want your son? This pshat is as follows. How I saw, I heard this by many people. The first time I saw it was by Rav Moshe Dan, Kestenbaum, and Olam Amidos, the sefer I suggest to everyone. They sell them in yeshiva, I believe, actually. That he says as follows. Listen to this beautiful answer. Listen to this. He says, of course at your pidyon haben, it's as obvious as could be. $50 for my son, it's not a question. The question is when your son is now 5, 10, 15, 20, are you picking your son or are you picking $50? How are you spending your time? Are you always picking these, you know, I could be with my son, I could be with my daughter, I could be pushing her on the swing, but one's here and one's not there. What am I picking in life? And just as obvious as I would pick I pick my daughter or my son over the $50. I don't have any sons. I pick my son over the $50 at that moment, you know, Ben, when everyone's dressed up, or there's a suitor waiting, everyone's ready to go. That should be my attitude for the rest of my life. How I spend my time is so valuable. It doesn't mean don't work. We need to make a living for our children. Great. But when I'm spending time with my kids, I'm spending time with my kids. So not everyone here has kids in this room yet. I hope not. So what happens is we're tested with something else. We're tested up. Am I going to pick my iPhone right now? Am I going to pick schmoozing? Am I going to pick this? Or am I going to pick a Kadosh Baruch Hu? So if everyone was here and we put you on the stage and we brought all the big rabbanim and we said, which one are you choosing? It's obvious. I'm going to choose Hashem. But that's the question we're posed with each and every single day in our lives. And which decision do we make? Maybe it's not so pashut anymore. And we need to make sure we're making that right decision. The Gemara in Shabbos and Daf Lamed Aleph explains there's six questions, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to ask you after 120. The teacher's giving you the test, and he's saying, just come back with me in 120 years. You have 120 years to study. Come back with the right answers. The first question, according to the Gemara in Shabbos, there's actually a Gemara in Sanhedrin that says differently, but the Gemara in Shabbos says the first question is, Koveya Itzim B'Torah. Did you set aside time to learn? And I saw the Maral writes beautifully. He says, it's not how much did you learn. It's did you set aside time to learn. How much you can remember, do you remember the Gemara, do you remember the Ritva, the Rashba, the Chumash, the Navi, it could be relative on your intelligence. Maybe it's not all in your control. But were you Koveya Itzim B'Torah? Did you set aside time to learn is in your control? Did you use your moments properly? Says the Maral, that's in your control. There's Gemara Rosh Hashanah that says off this idea, says Koveya means to have a fixed time to learn, like we're saying, but he says also the word Koveya could mean to steal. And he says it's not a contradiction, it works together. Did you steal time from here, steal time from there? Did you steal every single moment for Torah, for HaKadosh Baruch Hu? That is the idea that we're looking for. There's a mission of us that says, V'im lo achshav me'im asai, if not now, then when? I think this might be the most applicable thing to us in yeshiva. If not now, then when? We lived 18 years, all different lifestyles, all different backgrounds, and we can all improve, no matter who you are. And it doesn't stop, by the way, when you're in yeshiva. But if not now, then when? There's one pshat. I encourage everyone to open up a Perkei Avos and read any pshat on it. They're all beautiful. There's one pshat that changed my life forever, and I want to share with you. I learned this when I was Shana Aleph. Listen to this. The Rambam writes as follows. I'll modernize his comments. So you ever walked through New York City? So he never did. But if you ever walked through New York City, and you see on the side of the road, they have these small little trees. And in the trees are being held up. There's like two poles going down and rope tied around the trees. Even in Teaneck, where I'm from, they have it. Can you imagine what I'm saying? The small little trees. And why do they do this? It's because they want the trees to grow straight. Imagine Madison Avenue, Park Ave, that you have these huge trees. You know, they're 300 years, they're there, and they're like hanging over the streets. It's dangerous. Things are falling down. You can't have that. So they manipulate the trees when they're young to make sure they go straight. But imagine if I had a huge tree now hanging over Park Avenue that was crooked. So I took the same rope, the same two poles, little rope, two poles, I put it in the ground. I'm trying to move this huge 300-year-old tree over back to the right side of the street. Would it move? Of course not. Everyone would laugh at you. He says, the imloach shememisai means the exact same thing. He says, when you're young, you're moldable. You're a little tree. You can get pulled this way or pulled that way. Our goal is to make sure we're growing straight up. But if you wait till you're older in life, you're so set in your ways, you try to have something pull you this way or that way, you can't move anymore. Never give up. But v'im lo achshav, if not now, then when? This is the time where we have the ability to make a change. You're so moldable. Read the Sefer Chovas HaTalmidim. The whole Sefer is about one thing. To do it when you're young. It's beautiful. If you don't take advantage of it now, then I'm not sure when it's going to work. And it can't be something that we do once in a while. It's got to be consistent day in and day out. L'mashal, Rav Nissen Kaplan gave a shiur about learning Torah, but I think you can apply it to anything. He says that in Israel we use Celsius, so it's 100 degrees Celsius to boil a pot of water. But it's not just you turn it and it's 100 degrees Celsius, you put a pot of water and instantly it's boiled. Let's say you need to leave it on the stove for 10 minutes. 10 minutes, 100 degrees Celsius, Now you got your boiling water. So what happens though if I put it on for a minute? I take it off for a minute. I put it on for a minute. I do that 20 minutes total, 10 minutes on, 10 minutes off. Do I have a boiling pot of water? Of course not. But you told me 10 minutes of 100 degrees Celsius, it's there. It's 10 minutes straight of 100 degrees Celsius. One moment builds on the next moment. And that's how you're successful. If you do small little increments. Okay, today I'm going to spend a half hour, but I'm going to spend a half hour that I could be doing something and I don't. Again, we need breaks. We need ball. We need friends. We need all these things. That's fine. But even those moments could be for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Another example that hit home more to me is like you're driving on the getting onto the highway. So the cars are ranked by how fast they can get 0 to 60. How fast they can get 0 to 60. 3 seconds, 4 seconds, you know, faster cars, quicker, great. But once you reach, and in Israel it takes like 20 minutes to get to 60. But once you're there, you get there. How hard is it to maintain 60? For those who drive, your foot's barely on the pedal. To get from 0 to 60 is very hard. But once you're at 60, your foot's barely on the pedal. And if you get to a really good place, it's so easy. You're going downhill. You're flying down. That's our year in yeshiva. Sometimes in the beginning, it's hard. To get from 0 to 60, it's not so easy. But at this point, we should be past that already. We should be having a little foot on the pedal, and we're just flying. And if we're not, I believe the key to success is to be making sure we're using all moments well. So I always like to end, by the way, for those who don't know, I give a Musar Shmooze every single week at 10:05. But so I always like to end those shmoozes with a practical advice, a practical idea. This is my practical challenge. I challenge myself and everyone else who wants to join me. Maybe we can get t-shirts or something in this challenge. Listen up. We have so many set times in our day in a yeshiva where we're supposed to be doing good, supposed to be being Eved Hashem. It's hard to steal. It's hard to have that koveh, that steal the 5 minutes there, steal the 5 minutes there. Sometimes you see on the bus, a 21 bus, it usually matters if there's michalah girls or not. There's guys who whip out a minute, chomesh. I'm not talking about that. That's a milah or not. That's a milah or not. I'm talking about this. How about we say from now until Purim, we are going to use all the time that's set aside in our day already. We already have a time for shacharis. We already have a time for mincha, by the way, which is 2:55. We have a time for mincha in our day. We have a time for marv in our day. Yes, use those times well. We have morning, afternoon, and night seder. Let's use those times to the fullest. That doesn't mean show up a half hour late. It means show up on time. It means put your phone in the front. Use the moments, the time that we have in our day to the fullest. And Amir Tashem, we will grow to be that straight tree that we all want to be. Everyone have a good day.